welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab at our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Good morning, and welcome to Zion, and thank you those who helped yesterday for a work day. We got quite a bit done. You may even smell a little pine sol in the air still, and well organized. Thank you, Pastor Jones, and well filled by donuts and so forth. Anyway, there's plenty more to do, and we'll let you know when that's available. Also, today we're recognizing LWML. It's LWML Sunday here for us, and we'll have Carol tell you more about that after the service, have a Bible study prepared by LWML downstairs afterwards. For our guests, please fill out your pew pad if you haven't already, including contact information so we could follow up. For our radio listeners, we're following Divine Service Setting 1 on page 151 of the hymnal. Our opening hymn is 605, Father Welcomes. That's our hymn of the month. The hymn of the day is 544, O Love, How Deep. Distribution hymns, 429, We Sing the Praise of Him Who Died, 566, By Grace I'm Saved, 909, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation. Closing hymn is 861, Christ Be My Leader. More announcements after the service. Let's begin with our opening hymn.
Thank you.
Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We allow time for silent reflection on God's word and for self-examination. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned in few in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We now turn to your insert to sing together the intro. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, you gave your Son into the hands of sinful men who killed him. Forgive us when we reject your unfailing love, and grant us the fullness of your salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 5. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed; for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. This is the word of the Lord. We turn to our insert to sing together the gradual. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 3. If anyone else thinks he has a reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "Hear another parable.
There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated for our hymn of the day, 544, "O Love, How Deep."
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. In today's gospel reading, Jesus tells a parable based on one that the prophet Isaiah had sung to the people of Israel 700 years earlier. And this was a passage from our Old Testament reading today. And the parable would have been familiar to the audience of Jesus, especially those chief priests and elders who had questioned Jesus' authority. After telling the parable, Jesus asked them, "When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes," you know, this is after the owner had been sending servants who would get killed, and then he sends more servants and they're killed, and then sends his own son who's killed. Jesus asks him, "Therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He'll put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Well, Jesus is not just telling a parable. He's talking about the real nation of Israel, to whom God had sent real servants, prophets and priests, and some of those prophets were really beaten and killed by the people of Israel. And Jesus was speaking about them, those religious leaders, right there before him. These were the ones who were entrusted with the care of God's people. They understood this. When Jesus said, "Have you never read in the scriptures?" Well, of course they had read. "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." Well, the chief priests and the Pharisees perceived that Jesus was speaking about them. Their own words had condemned them. Jesus is the Son of God, the one that God finally sent. So how did the disciples perceive this, Jesus telling these religious leaders? Did they hear Jesus telling these religious leaders with some satisfied vengeance that they're going to get what they deserve? After all, they should know better. They know the scriptures. They had no excuse. Is that what they heard? And were they glad that Jesus was telling them? Or did they hear something else? After all, the parable was for those religious leaders, and yet the disciples are going to be learning something, as are we, from Jesus. This parable is from a love song the Lord sang through Isaiah. And the vineyard Isaiah was singing about was Israel and Judah, God's chosen people. God had loved them with rich land, protection from enemies, continuous presence in the temple, and best of all, the promise of the coming Messiah. But that parable had that tragic turn. His vineyard brought forth wild grapes, idolatry, injustice, bloodshed, anything but rightly bearing the torch of the coming Savior of the world. Even when God had sent prophets to warn them, they failed to bear fruit. So what would the Lord do to his vineyard? Well, he would lay it waste. He would remove all the protection. And so he's retelling this tragic love song to the Jewish leaders of the day. They're heirs of the promise. They're still the nation through whom Messiah would come. They're still blessed with God's presence in his temple, still warned by God's prophets. And God expected these religious leaders to care for his people, his vineyard, that it may bear fruit, and to welcome the Messiah and show him to the nations.
So what would the telling of this parable accomplish? I mean, the son, the last messenger of the master, he's now there with them, and they are plotting to kill him. Jesus knows this, and yet there's still time to repent. He's come for them, too. He loves them, too. He longs to save them. He would give his life for them. In his presence, in his hearing his words, maybe they would stop disbelieving. Maybe they would believe that he is the son of the master. Well, as a group, the religious leaders would not repent. The stone would fall on them. They would be crushed. Jesus knows them. He knows this, but it doesn't stop him from speaking directly to them. So what would the disciples learn from this? What do we learn from this? We know his judgment is real. That's true. And they would soon observe the anguish of Jesus himself, suffering the judgment of God on their behalf. The one who knew no sin would become sin because of them, because of their sin. The Holy One of God would become accursed to spare them from the curse of God, being cut off eternally from him. The reality of their own need for his death on their behalf would eventually sink in. Their only hope is in Christ. Your only hope is in Christ. The only hope of the worst of sinners is in Christ. The only hope of the chief scribes, the Pharisees, the other religious leaders was in Christ. Would Christ's words, parables spoken to them, would it make a difference? Well, yes, it would. The word of the Lord that goes out from his mouth does not return to him empty, but it accomplishes that which he purposed, shall succeed in the thing for which he sent it. We know that at least two religious leaders would later come forward as believers in Jesus as the Christ. They came forward while the disciples were hiding, perhaps recognizing their sinfulness and need for him. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, both members of the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin, would boldly come forward to properly prepare the bloody corpse of their beloved Lord. It no longer mattered what the other religious leaders thought of them, whom they previously feared. It was the love of God, even for them in Christ Jesus, that was evident in this son's sacrificial death for them. The disciple John would hear about that secret nighttime meeting that Nicodemus had with Jesus. And he recorded the precious words that were in that context, where John says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Lord emboldened these religious leaders, the ones who so strongly spoke against him, to come forward as believers while his closest disciples were hiding. And perhaps recalling this stuck with the disciples. And they would hear the words of Christ speaking to these apparently immovable, hard-hearted men, because they too would be sent out into the world to speak to people they would rather avoid. They would have to go, as Christ bid them, to a sin-filled world, hostile, because they had to tell about Christ crucified for them.
Perhaps it's especially in the context of Jesus' love for the worst of sinners and the vehement opponents that the grace of God overwhelms. Just listen to St. Paul, you know, the Pharisee, this persecutor of the church. As he wrote to Timothy, "Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." Jesus loves sinners. He confronts sinners. That's why you're here. You are a sinner for whom Christ came into the world to save. You are confronted in your baptism, your old sinful nature put to death so that Christ lives in you. You are confronted by his word that reveals your sin that becomes so evident in his righteousness. That's so you bear the fruit of repentance, so that you receive the mercy of Christ, so that Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life. There are plenty more out there whom he came to save, those who also are to believe in him for eternal life. These disciples who were observing Jesus proclaim his love to the men who would have him crucified. Well, did he speak those words like one who was glad that they were going to get what's coming? Or did he speak to them like one who was doing everything he could to rescue them from judgment that would come to those who reject him? They were getting a lesson in evangelism. Jesus would send them out to proclaim the love of God in Christ Jesus to people who are just as sinful, people who did not deserve to hear this good news, people like you. And yet we have heard it. We do believe. He's shown his patience with us and shown his mercy. And now it's our turn. This is LWML Sunday, and the mission statement for the LWML is, "As Lutheran Women in Mission, we joyfully proclaim Christ, support missions, and equip women to honor God by serving others." The LWML understands the importance of missions, of bringing Jesus Christ to a hostile world full of sinners. Jesus was faithful in his mission to seek and save the lost. He was rejected and killed, and God raised him from the dead, placed him as the cornerstone of the church, the stone that the builders rejected, Christ. Well, he will crush those who reject him. But God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. You've been saved. You have the promise of eternal life in Christ. As you engage with other sinners in this world, reluctant as you may be, skeptical about their ability to turn as you may be, remember Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners as he saved you. You received mercy for this reason, that in you, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the church, the vineyard of the Lord's planting, that by the sacrifice of Christ and the comfort of his Spirit, she may yield much fruit for his kingdom, let us pray to the Lord. For confidence to share in the sufferings of Jesus Christ, who died to make us his own, that we may also know the power of his resurrection, let us pray to the Lord. For all orphans, that they would be given a safe place in which to grow and thrive, and for generous couples who will give them permanent homes through adoption, let us pray to the Lord. For our president, our governor, and all elected and appointed leaders, that the light of the Lord may shine upon our nation, let us pray to the Lord. For strong hearts to heed the pruning law of the Lord, that we may never presume to sin nor trust in our own deeds, but look to the rainfall of his grace for our source of life. Let us pray to the Lord. For zeal directed by the gospel of Christ and hands strengthened to accomplish the fruitful work of God in this barren world, let us pray to the Lord. For the grace to recognize and affirm the varied and singular gifts you bestow on women, and especially upon the LWML, that your kingdom may be extended, your church enriched, and your people lovingly served to the glory of your holy name, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the comfort of God's love and the encouragement of his Christ, that all who suffer, especially those grieving, injured, and captured in the Israel-Hamas conflict, for Marlis, Pastor Jones, Haley, Marlis, Pastor Sedlock, Ruth, Lacey, Jim, Lewis, Greg, Diane, Nancy, Ben, Mark, Blaine, Audrey, Mary Jo, Lynn, Amy, Ben, Cookie, Sarah, Marlene, Arlene, and Arlene, would find him a ready and worthy Savior in every affliction. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who commune, that faith may be strengthened and love renewed until at last we feast with all the saints in his everlasting presence, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful Lord, you sing the song of your love over the vineyard of your church. Lift her united voice through your Spirit, that she in turn would freely praise your lavish grace and proclaim your salvation beyond her walls, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the same Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. A special blessing before our radio listeners leave us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We continue with the offertory.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. The very body of Christ given for you. Savior Jesus Christ, given unto us. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto us. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. The very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Harder. The Lord bless you and keep you in your baptismal grace. Take and eat. The true body of Christ, given unto death for you. Iris. The Lord bless you and keep you in your baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. The body of Christ, given for you. Take and eat. The Lord bless you and keep you in your baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and drink. This is the very blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Table of the Lord. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. The very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. The very body of Christ, given for you. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
give it unto death for you. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. The very body of Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. The very body of Christ, given unto death for you. Lord bless you and keep you in your baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. The very body of Christ, given unto death for you. Lord bless you and keep you in your baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink. This is the very blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. To the table of the Lord. Reagan, the Lord bless you and keep you in your baptismal grace. Reagan, the Lord bless you and keep you in your baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. The very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. This is the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink. This is the very blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.